Good evening. Usually I need about 2 weeks to 3 weeks to prepare a message. Wednesday I get an SMS from Kat. Would I please bring the message tonight? And then she suggested a topic, so right. So I'm going to do what Kat asked me to do. And but brothers and sisters, you know, this is a seminar I prepared in the Ukraine, and it was done over four evenings. So they asked me to do the same here in the Free State in March. So I reduced it to one Saturday morning. So that one I had to compact again to do it within an hour and a quarter tonight. So bear with me. If we see where we need a little break of maybe 5 minutes just for coffee, we'll do that. But I'll try not to keep you later than 12 o'clock, all right? This is going to be not be a sermon. This is going to be a Bible study, and maybe we'll interact a bit, all right? And I'm going to talk about a subject which should be of great concern to all of us, and not just us. I'm talking about the spiritual church of God, but none of us seem to be overly concerned, and none of us are really addressing this problem. I'm going to talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know it all, you know, circular. Not that again. But I want to encourage you tonight, and maybe if there's time, we'll do a little bit of practical as well. All right. Now, firstly, I want to just say the problems that we have with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's the cessation theology, the streptologie. In other words, when the last apostle died, then the gifts ended there. And afterwards, there were no gifts anymore. The other one is the greatest critics of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are people who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and who have no experience of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and do not know how to handle them. They are the greatest critics of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest stumbling blocks among Christians is the following: but I did receive the Holy Spirit when I became a believer. The Bible is very clear that no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit in him. But then Apostle Paul meets a group of believers, and he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. So they needed to be introduced to the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the power, the dynamite that we receive for our effective work in the kingdom of God. You are not baptized in the Holy Spirit to be able to speak in tongues and to become a member of an elite club. We can't do anything in the kingdom in our own strength and our own wisdom. The Holy Spirit reveals himself and manifests himself through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he manifests himself through people like you and me. And he does not manifest himself through goosebumps that we have been getting accustomed to and used to as being filled with the Holy Spirit or experiencing the Holy Spirit. But it's only through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he manifests himself. I'm going to read you one or two scriptures. Luke 24, verse 29, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 1, verse 6 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons when the Father has put, which the Father has put in his own authority. But it's still exactly the same today. We spend all our time talking and discussing and studying and preparing for the end times and for the rapture. And we completely ignore the fact that we have been called or commanded to be his witnesses or his martyrs, even unto the ends of the earth. And for that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Thank you for many of these songs that we sang tonight pertains to this. The Holy Spirit, who is given, bestows gifts in turn. And it's these gifts that's going to be our attention tonight. All right, the New Testament mentions these gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. They are? Name them. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom, the next one. All right, first one. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. They are the cognitive ones. Then faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, I haven't got the time to do all of them. And at the end, I'm going to only discuss two of them, which is tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, a few verses earlier, Paul declared, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, the word for the gifts in this text is charismata. Hence, we may speak of the charismata of the Spirit. Thus, we are dealing with spiritual gifts or spiritual charismata. After listing these nine gifts, Paul declares, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. The spiritual gifts are distributions of the Holy Spirit. So you cannot say, I have the gift of healing, hy het die gawe van genesing of hy het die gawe van profesie. It doesn't exist. Because those are gifts and they are distributed by the Holy Spirit as he wishes to anyone who is open to minister in the gifts. The Greek word charismata means gifts of grace, enabling Christians to serve the church of Christ due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, isn't it strange that God has given these gifts to serve the church, to keep the body healthy? Instead, we've accumulated counselors, psychiatrists, and all that to try and heal the body of Christ. Yet if we had the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy, if that was operating, word of knowledge, healing, how much more healthier would the body of Christ be? In Romans 12, verse 6, Paul wrote about our having gifts, charismata, that differ according to the grace given to us. And then he briefly describes seven of these gifts. And I just want to read them to you. In the message, he says, if you preach, now King James would say, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, this message says, if you preach, preach is also a form of prophesying. I wouldn't say all messages are prophecy, but many of them are prophesying. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouragement, encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, Keep your eyes open. Be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Those are the gifts listed in Romans 12. And then further, the list overlaps with 1 Corinthians 8 verse 10 in only one aspect, and that is in prophecy. So the spiritual gifts and the gifts described in Romans 12 overlap in only one gift, and that is the gift of prophecy. Gifts are also described in Ephesians 4. However, they are not called charismata, but they are called domata. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, Paul listed five such gifts. And he himself, that is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here it is clearly stated, verse 7, that the source of these gifts is Jesus. With the spiritual gifts, the source is the Holy Spirit. Again, the only overlap with 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, is in the area of prophecy, because he says, some prophets. In total, the gifts of the Spirit are specifically dealt with in Corinthians 1, verse 12 alone. That's the only place where the spiritual gifts are dealt with. Now, it is true that these nine gifts, or charismata, particularly occupy the attention of charismatics. Now, in a certain sense, all Christians are charismatics, because all have received the gift or charisma of eternal life. Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the charisma of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, straight after these words, now concerning spiritual gifts, Paul adds, I do not want you to be uninformed. Also translated as ignorant or unaware. I prefer the one uninformed. Paul did not intend to give new information, but a correction and understanding of the things of the Spirit. And it is significant that Paul is not writing to the Corinthians about things that they had not experienced, but he was writing to them about what they had experienced. This is the context of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. Their being uninformed had nothing to do with their being inexperienced. Rather, it was to give instruction in the proper exercise of what they had experienced in abundance. Their full participation in the gifts of the Spirit further implied a dynamic experience of the Spirit himself. In this connection, it is significant that shortly after mentioning the spiritual gifts and how the Holy Spirit distributed them, Paul wrote, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew and Greek, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will unite us. I remember when we arrived in Kiev the first time, when we arrived in the Bible school there, 120 students of different denominations. The Baptists believed that the charismatics were of the devil. And they believed that the Pentecostals were the devil himself. So they wouldn't talk to one another. Now every morning, we'd give a student an opportunity just to have a short sermon, and then we'd cut the sermon. When it was time for the charismatics to preach, the Baptists and the Pentecostals would turn their backs and start reading the Bibles aloud, not listening to this one preaching. It was terrible, the disunity. But by the end of the year, when they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was not in Trana when they had to go apart. God had united them through the Holy Spirit. Now, listen carefully. Any vital information concerning the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual charismata, presupposes a participation in them. As ek julle wil vertel van die Heilige Gees, verseker moet ek tog dit al beoefen het, is dit nie waar nie? Hoe kan ek julle enige informatie gee as ek niks daarvan weet nie? My brothers and sisters, this proves that the lack of significant experience of the charismata results in the efforts of some people to distance themselves from the gifts because of not really knowing how to cope with them. That is why we get so much criticism, because it's people who've never experienced the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, yet they want to talk about that. They ignore Paul's teaching of the relevance of the church throughout the relevance for the church throughout the ages, and such people seek to confine the gifts to the New Testament period. The spiritual damage caused is great, for it is precisely through these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in power and vitality. I want you to listen carefully. Let it be firmly said that the church cannot be fully or freely the church without the presence and operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, what is depicted in 1 Corinthians and occurring in our day is in no sense a peripheral matter. This is not what you be rond van die kerk gebeur, die gawes van die Heilige Gees nie. But it is crucial to the life of the church. And for those who have just been recently baptized, maybe in the Holy Spirit, just an early warning. I learned a very precious saying. It says, if you have the word only, the word says that's with it, you tend to dry up because you become legalistic. But if you have the Holy Spirit only, it's only the Holy Spirit, you tend to blow up. You explode. But if you have the Spirit and the Word, then you grow up. So let us always keep that balance. It says 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. To each for the profit of all. It is just after these words that Paul starts to explain about the gifts of the Spirit. Through the spiritual charismata, the Holy Spirit shines forth and openly shows himself. The Spirit who is invisible manifests himself in a visible and audible way. When the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, thousands of people were drawn to the place where they saw and they heard the Spirit-filled disciples speaking in other tongues. Peter explains that event as follows. He says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Sometimes I just wonder, how would we react if God would pour out his Holy Spirit anew on Franchuk Valley or even on Shofar Church? How often have we prayed for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then you say, come on, pray in your tongue. I can't hear you. Are we ashamed? Were we really baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are we embarrassed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit? People all over Jerusalem heard that they were shouting the praises of God. Can we really say that we are not embarrassed by the Holy Spirit, by the gifts of the Spirit? We have become too sophisticated. Brothers and sisters, would crowds be drawn to this building if God poured out His Spirit anew on this church? Would people be astonished at what God had done? So what the crowd saw and heard was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Strange tongues or other speech was such a manifestation. However, all the spiritual gifts or charismata are not just tongues, are the Spirit's self-expression or manifestation. The nine gifts listed by Paul in verse 8 to 10, therefore, are various exhibitions of this. Now, we have a problem. The gifts of the Spirit are clearly to be differentiated from the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22-23, Paul writes that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humanness, and self-control. You suffer a long time. Thus, there is both a ninefold manifestation of the gifts and a ninefold fruit. Although the same in number, the fruit and gifts are totally different in character. Moreover, the gifts of the Spirit are the immediate self-expression of the Spirit occurring through instruments open to His presence and power. The gifts of the Spirit are something which will happen now immediately. The fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, like fruit on a tree in general, takes a length of time to develop and is found only among those who are maturing in their Christian lives. And this process never ends. That is why, if you look carefully, you will see here, this building is under permanent construction. And it will never end until the day that we come face to face with Jesus. Because the Bible says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. In the case of the gifts, however, even young and immature believers may manifest them, as did the Corinthians in the Corinthian church. They were all immature Christians, but all of them abounded in the use or the practice of the gifts of the Spirit. But with the fruit, there must be a lengthy process of growth and maturation. Both gifts and fruit are valuable for very different reasons, but they are by no means the same. This is something, another word about the charismatic renewal. Criticism is sometimes made that participants are preoccupied with the sensational. Rather than being satisfied with their salvation and a normal Christian walk, they get caught up in such things as tongues and prophecy and healings and the like. Moreover, the criticism sometimes continues, charismatics exhibit a lot of carnality. Hulle sê charismate is baie vleeslik. Ons tree in die vlees op. And would therefore do well to leave the gifts and be more concerned with holiness and righteousness. Dit is 'n groot aanklag teen ons. To reply to the letter, modern day charismatics do show forth carnality and insufficient devotion to holy living. But in that sense, they are not unlike the Corinthians to whom Paul wrote. There is for sure need today for many of Paul's admonitions throughout the letter. But the answer cannot be to forget the spiritual gifts, for they and they alone are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, kom ons kry dit in ons koppe in. It is not our wonderful praise and worship. It is not our programs. It is not our love and how many goosebumps I get. That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is the gifts of the Holy Spirit which is a manifestation. But wees dat die Heilige Gees is teenwoordig tussen julle. It's only through the gifts. And brothers and sisters, I just say this. I can tell you. Exactly 2 years ago, when the last person spoke in tongues, and then a few months back, Nita sang in the tongue and she gave the interpretation. Once every 2 years. And we call ourselves spirit-filled, through whom the gifts of the Spirit works. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. We try and win the world with secret sensitive services and by programs and by shows and whatnot, we're becoming like the world. Yet the Bible is very explicit. When they see the love among us and the power of God manifest in our midst, that will draw the people. That will draw the crowds to Christ. But we take the easy way out. The accusation that charismatics are caught up in the sensational, it may be true that some do overestimate certain of the gifts and make too much of their exercise. However, to one not familiar with the gifts, what may seem sensational to them could very well be the power of God in operation. We can conclude that a people, a church, or believers in general, whatever the salvation and sanctification, their dedication and service, who disregard or ignore the spiritual gifts are missing out on a dynamic reality of the Spirit's own self-manifestation. My broer en suster, as ons het ignoreer, die chaos van die gees, mis ons 'n geweldige manier waarop God, die Heilige Gees, homself aan ons wil openbaar en tussen ons wil werk. Hy is toch die vuur. Man, if the Holy Spirit is present, it's a fire that burns out all sin and takes away all other desires but to live for God. It should be finally noted that the manifestation of the Spirit is through people. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And it is through individuals. It means the extraordinary fact that human beings, finite creatures, become the channel of the Spirit's manifestation. How is it possible that there can be so much criticism on something which is written in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Remember that all the gifts are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says, he is free to operate just as he wills. For instance, although prophecy is listed as one of the 9 spiritual gifts, Paul later says, you can all prophesy one by one. He also wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Spiritual gifts, therefore, are different from other gifts, as in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians. Spiritual gifts are not continuing possessions. Here's the gawes. Ek kan nie sê ek het die gawe van genesing of ek het die gawe van profesie of wat ook al nie. Ek het nie die gawe nie. I do not possess that gift because they are continuing possessions. The Spirit moves freely and in and through his manifestation, apportioning as he wills. So on one occasion, a person may manifest a word of knowledge, and the next time, a word of prophecy. I do not own the gift of the Holy Spirit. Any one of the 9 gifts can work through me at any time. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The expression is given. Is given clearly refers to the present for that specific moment. This is not a past gift which one, so to speak, carries with himself. If I'm an apostle, like Paul there, he's an apostle, he'll be apostle until he dies. I'll be apostle. If I'm an evangelist, I'll be an evangelist until I die. That is the gift that God, that Jesus has bestowed on me. But the spiritual gifts I do not carry with me. They belong to him, and he bestows it as he wills when he sees there's a heart that's willing to be used by him. Understand that one, eh? We next observe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for ministry in the body of believers. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. For the common good means for the good of the community. Thus, each of the spiritual gifts named is for the profit of all. As each exercises a gift, the body is built up for its ministry in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let all things be done for edification. Whatever gift is manifested, its one purpose is edification, the building up of the body of believers. My brothers and sisters, it is not just the pastor's prerogative or his duty that is intended, or his sermon that is intended for edification, or the worship team, it's not their duty for edification. The gifts are given for the purpose of edification. And how we sorrowfully lack in those. It is the intention of the Lord that his people be strengthened as a community. So when a word of wisdom or a prophecy is spoken, or a tongue is expressed, a healing or miracle takes place, it is for one purpose, edification. It follows that any exercise of a gift of the Spirit that does not result in the edification of the body is inappropriate or out of order. Now, I'll give you an example. Years ago, when we were still in a Pentecostal church there in Northern Osborne, there was something wrong in the church. But the leadership never attended to this problem until one brother got a word of knowledge. And he jumped up in the meeting. He says, "Exin Brewer Lucas, I see Brother Luke has got teeth like a vampire. And he's trying to suck everybody empty. I see Brother John O'Brien has got a head the size of the globe. He's full of pride." And he knocked, everybody just dug down, didn't know what to say. But you know what? He was speaking the truth. But he should have gone to them personally. It wasn't for public. And he embarrassed everybody instead of building everybody up. So afterwards, we had to do damage control and resolve the problem. But that is out of order. So, and then, of course, you found in Pentecostal churches that people would come mekaar by prophesying against one another. You sinful man. Don't think the Lord doesn't see you walking in the night in the streets. Hallelujah. See, so that's also happened, but that's totally out of order. For example, speaking in tongues is later discouraged by Paul if there is not also an interpretation. The apostle by no means negates the importance of the gift. Indeed, quite to the contrary, he states that through a tongue, there is direct address to God and utterance of mysteries in the Spirit. Could there be a higher expression than this? However, and this is the basic point, since tongues is speaking not to men, but to God, There can be no group edification unless someone interprets it. Amen. When that happens, the church is edified. The spiritual gifts are not for private benefit, but wholly for the edification of others. All right. Now let us focus on each one. Every believer is given manifestation of the Spirit. It is not a matter of certain individuals, perhaps leaders or office holders who are gifted. No one is left out. If you say you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then no one is left out. You are included. Just as the spiritual gifts are for the whole body, so everyone in the body is equally involved in the ministry of edification. Almal, elkeen van ons, het die gawe van bemoediging ontvang. Every one of us, every Christian, has received the gift of edification. So, in a spiritual gifted community, people do not look to one person or a few to minister to the assembly. Rather, they look unto the Lord. As you sit here, every one of us, look to the Lord, expecting Him to minister by the Spirit through each one present. The involvement of each person as a vehicle for the Spirit's manifestation has been greatly neglected in church tradition. Wat sê jy, Jaapie? Especially in liturgical churches where worship is ritualistic and the congregation is little more than spectators. Another problem is that our churches are too big, too many members, and a meeting would last for hours if everybody had a song or a psalm or a teaching or whatever, or a tongue interpretation. And it would take hours, as it's going to be tonight. Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians suggests a gathering of believers of such size that can be easily happen. A large assembly may surely be in order for a time of preaching and teaching or public worship, but it is scarcely suitable for the ministry of the spiritual gifts. Clearly, something like the house church or the cell groups is needed, not to replace the temple worship, but to supplement it. In the small group, there is more freedom for the spiritual gifts to operate. But I can just assure you that our church, this building, is also small enough that the gifts can operate in this place. I'm talking about a place like Hatfield or Rhema, where you have to walk 2 kilometers to get to the stage, take your mic and start speaking in tongues, and then walk back. I mean, by that time I'm halfway, then I'm such a fool that I don't even want to speak in tongues anymore. It is not that everyone must speak or act, but each person is responsible that what has been given be used in the edification of the community. There's nothing that upsets me so much as when after the worship, or during the worship, or after the sermon, somebody will come to me and say, "Oh, I was so disobedient to the Holy Spirit." Because you have robbed the whole body of a blessing. Rather than just keep quiet. But how often do you hear, "I should have. I was disobedient to the Holy Spirit. I should have. Oh, this isn't what I wanted to say." And it fitted perfectly. It would have enhanced the message, or the situation would have been cleared up. So be obedient. Be sensitive to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize the importance of all the gifts for the proper and full functioning of the body. Paul uses the imagery of the physical body with its various parts: the foot, the ear, the eye, the hand, the head, and even the unpresentable parts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15-26, stating that all equally belong, that all are necessary to the body. It is utter nonsense for one part to say, I have no need of you. Hence, by implication, each member in the spiritual body of Christ expressing his spiritual gift is essential to the whole body. The body cannot function as well without it. All gifts are needed. Moreover, to look down or despise the manifestation of another gift is totally unwarranted. And this is particularly relevant to a situation where some of the charismata of the Spirit may be disregarded or even unwelcomed. We have said before there are those who claim that these gifts, in whole or in part, have no relevance in our day. What they are really saying is that only certain ones are. Word of wisdom? Yes. Gifts of healings? No. We've got our doctors. Word of knowledge? Yes. Working of miracles? No. It doesn't happen in our day anymore. Faith? Yes, etc. In other words, foot? Yes. Ear? No. Eyes? Yes. Hand? No. Head? Yes. Unpresentable parts? No. And it is hard to describe a more devastating dismemberment of the body if or when such an attitude prevails. In this connection, let me add a word about the difficulty some people have with one spiritual gift in particular, tongues. This manifestation is not even unwelcome, but even despised. Tongues are not only viewed as unpresentable parts to be covered, but in some cases forbidden to function at all. People, churches who are spirit-filled, baptized, forbid the use of tongues in their churches. And yet, if it is true, as Paul later states, that when speaking in tongues, one utters mystery in the spirit, what could more edify the body than having these mysteries interpreted? But my brothers and sisters, they openly forbid it, but we don't even use it. So where are we better than what they are? They just made a law, but we also keep to that law. It is urgent that no gift of the Holy Spirit be denigrated or despised, suppressed or set aside. All gifts have their proper and essential place in the full functioning of the body of Christ. And since each spiritual charismata is a gift, the ground of boasting is non-existent. Each charisma is a gift of grace. Therefore, boasting concerning spiritual gifts is ruled out. Now, spiritual gifts and love. Maybe we can just get up and just stretch a bit, because I'll be another 20 minutes. All right. Let me just stand. I've tried to condense it. And then the other one is, of course, the it's not been long now. It's not been long now. I wonder whether we should continue. Right, let's continue. Because of their great value in building up the body of Christ, the spiritual charismata are much to be desired. Brothers and sisters, here you must really hear me out, and you must listen carefully. However, they need to function in an attitude of love. But we have to jy moet die gawes begeer. Here we hear the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Or pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now let's just consider this fact of eagerly desire for the spiritual gifts. Paul says, to each one individually, he gives to each one individually just as he wills. Now, if the Holy Spirit just gives as he wills, what will it help if I have a desire and he will not give it to me? If the spiritual gifts are his sovereign action, his distribution, what difference does anyone's desire make? The answer first is the same as in regard to the gift of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was given to us in Pentecost, that was a gift that was given to us. For though the Spirit is God's sovereign bestowal, it is given to those who ask, seek, and knock. To those who earnestly desire it. God will not baptize you in the Holy Spirit to become a member of a club. It's only if you desire to be effective in the kingdom of God. And here I state categorically, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it does not exclude you from heaven. Although there are scriptures that say, those who are led by my Spirit are the sons of God. So it means you've got to have the Holy Spirit. But there are examples of people who never spoke in tongues or weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. The man of the cross hanging next to Jesus. So I'm not closing heaven for any one of those people. But it is to be effective in the kingdom of God. Instead of just being a pew warmer, we must desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. God delights to give good gifts, good things to those who ask Him. And so it is with the good gifts of the Holy Spirit. He will not waste His gifts on those who do not desire them. And to summarize this section, we are called upon to especially desire the spiritual gifts, all of them. Among those gifts are certain excelling ones, including prophecy, that we are especially urged to seek after. But remember, even if one receives the gift of prophecy, there's no reason to boast because the gift is wholly from God. Now let's just turn our attention to love and the spiritual gifts. He's followed the way of love and eagerly desires spiritual gifts. Love should be the way of the gifts. They are to function closely together. At the conclusion of 1 Corinthians 12 are these words, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Now, here as well as later in 1 Corinthians 14, the gifts and love are set in close relationship, except that the greater gifts are mentioned before the love chapter. Then follows chapter 13, also on the gifts and love, as the connecting line between 1 Corinthians 12, 31 and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Regarding 1 Corinthians 12, 31, it's important to stress first that in the following chapter, Paul describes the way, the most excellent way, wherein all the spiritual gifts are to be exercised. Immediately, we must guard against any idea that Paul intends to describe a way better than desiring the spiritual gifts. Unfortunately, many Bible translators suggest that the way of love is a better way. Better just to have love than the spiritual gifts. For example, the RSV Bible reads, I will show you a still more excellent way. The implication in such a translation is that Paul shows a way far better than the spiritual gifts. If this was the case, then the whole question of what are the greater gifts becomes irrelevant in light of there being a still more excellent way. The more precise Greek text points in a quite different direction, for it literally reads, and now I show you a way beyond measure. A way beyond measure, wherein the gifts, including the greater, are to be exercised. Verse after verse of the love chapter, Paul describes the way beyond measure of love. All the gifts, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, must be exercised in love. Otherwise, they are noisy, abrasive, and virtually worthless. The importance of love cannot be over-exaggerated. And then, just to close this, he says, moreover, love never ends, whereas the gifts will pass away when the perfect has come. Now, so often, Bible students say, when the perfect love has come, then, like in Corinthians 13, then the gifts will pass away. The perfect is when we are face to face, with the majestic glory, tongues, prophecy, and knowledge, indeed all the charismata will fall away, for they belong to the present and will be utterly transcended in the vision of God. So, in the glory to come, as Paul reaches the climax of his teaching, faith, hope, love abides. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, now, let me do the kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Since these two gifts belong together, the relationship between tongues and interpretation is intimate, for one is not to function without the other. Can I just see by showing of hands, who exercises the gift of tongues? Higher, I can't see. Both tongues and interpretation of tongues are unique in that, unlike the preceding seven gifts, they never occurred before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So we cannot go back, as we can with the other seven gifts, to the Old Testament or even to the Gospels to find illustrations. The Gospels contain no incident of speaking in tongues or interpretation following. These last two gifts only occurred with the dawn of the Christian era. And with regards to the listing of the gifts, they say those two gifts are listed last because they are the least important. It is not so. It is because they arrived the last on the scene. It is sometimes said that Paul lists these gifts because they are least, or because there are especially tongues with the problem in the church of the Corinth. However, such a viewpoint seems quite inadequate. I repeat, they are listed last because they were the last gifts given to the church. One further word of introduction. These last manifestations of the Holy Spirit form a distinctive category of gifts that operate beyond our minds. When Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, or my intellect lies fallow. He's speaking of a category of gifts quite different from the first two, word of wisdom and word of knowledge, which are mental gifts, and the next five are extra mental gifts. Tongues interpretation operate on a level beyond the mind. In other words, when I speak in tongues or when I give interpretation of tongues, then I am brain dead. Because it does not come from here, it comes from here. Kinds of tongues. The word kind suggests that the tongues referred to are not always the same character. My tongue will sound totally different than the tongue that you utter. Yet it is the same Spirit. Since this is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, there is no limitations on the language spoken. Now, brothers and sisters, I just want to differentiate quickly here. At this point, we need to recognize that there is an important difference between tongues as an accompaniment of the coming of the Holy Spirit and tongues as an individual gift of the Spirit. In other words, the day when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received a tongue. So, everyone, if you say to me, I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I have not received a tongue, I will not doubt you at all. I won't argue with you. But I'm just saying to you, that if you do not speak in tongues, it's because of ignorance. And the moment you start speaking in tongues, you will say, I could have done that long ago. When we went to minister to another place, my little 4 or 5 year old grandson, the less he taped it, we said, Oma, I want to sing you a little song. So he started singing in tongues. And I said to them, all of you spoke this language when you were babies. We have to become like children. All of you have spoken in tongues before you could think. And that's exactly the same language that you speak when you speak in tongues. Now, but that is for self-edification. It's for my quiet time, and when I praise and worship God, I use the tongue. But not everyone who speaks in tongues in his closet or when worshiping God, not everyone is used to speak in tongues as a gift of the Spirit. In church, in the community. You may never be used, although you speak in tongues, you may never be used to bring a message in tongues in the community. And if you do bring a message in tongues in the community, it means that you've been speaking in tongues long ago. In your private home, or when you are worshiping God. So you must just differentiate between those two. Not everybody who speaks in tongues will bring a message in tongues in the community. So there are devotional tongues, when I pray all by myself, or when I worship God, or I sing in tongues, praying in your closet, or softly in a meeting, there are ministry tongues spoken in public. Devotional tongues originating in the coming of the Spirit and continuing in the life of prayer and praise have no limitations. So don't start praying softly in tongues hoping that God will make me finish the sermon so you can go home. It's not magic. It doesn't work magic at all. But my brother says, all of you may speak in tongues. In Corinthians 1, verse 14, verse 5, Paul implies this way. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues. Now, how often have I prayed for people and they say, pray for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to speak in tongues. So how can I cut out one gift? I pray for the Holy Spirit, and He will bestow His gifts as He wills. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues. But Paul begins a later statement in this way. If the whole church assembles and all speak in tongues. In this statement, Paul goes on even further by implying that all the Corinthians could speak in tongues. Clearly such speaking must refer to a different use of tongues than is described in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul refers to tongues as an individual gift, so that not all speak in tongues. Not all speak in tongues, do they? He asks. Brothers and sisters, I want to just close up here. He says, tongues is one of the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. Now here, listen carefully. I was so blessed that 2 or 3 Sundays ago, Brett, I must just say, you handled that situation superbly. I just saw you. Said, are you serious? When that guy stood up and said, he's leaving, he's not going to preach. And you said, are you serious? But then you handled it so beautifully. But isn't Lord just testing us? Ja, op ons het hier in diens gehad, en die man wat my preek, sê, my vrou is swanger, sy begin krampyne kry, ek waai. Maar daar is Derek, en daar is om Johnny, en daar is so, jy sal regkom en hy loop. So I just thought, Lord, how How wonderful. And wasn't that a wonderful service? How the Lord blessed us out of our boots. Because our eyes were on Him. Now He says, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Isn't that strange? That He only mentions those two spiritual gifts when you get together. He doesn't mention, has anybody a gift of healing? Has anybody distinguishing of spirits? Has anybody got a tongue and interpretation? Very strange. My brothers and sisters, it is not a matter of may have, but has. Each one has. Does not mean that everybody has a tongue anymore, that everyone has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, an interpretation. Paul means rather that one person has this, another person has that. Hence, each person is fully involved. And this unmistakably includes having a tongue. Pew warmers of today who just want to receive versus that. My brothers and sisters, when we come together, come prepared, not just to receive. Come prepared with something. Surely God must give you something during the week or during that morning that you can share. Not everything is relevant. Maybe then if moenie sommer insny nie, as jy dan iets het wat pas hierby nie, keep it back. Maybe it's for the next time. But come prepared with something. And be prepared that God is going to work through you. Just put your hand. And wherever is here in front, say yes. Yes. But we cannot continue just listening to a sermon. Because if we can't contribute to the building up of the body of Christ, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Just getting fat. You get it. Brothers and sisters, you see, but the tongue is ambiguously what Paul has been describing throughout. Sadly, if Paul had to visit our church today, he would have to say, not each one, but no one has a tongue or interpretation. And then just lastly, interpretation of tongues. Some people believe that tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. In value, but it is not the same. Because he is very clear that a tongue is mostly simply an offering of praise to God. This was the case at Pentecost when the 120 spirit-filled believers were speaking in other tongues, declaring in those tongues the wonderful works of God, how great God was. What a wonderful God He was. From beginning to the end, He was the Alpha and the Omega. That is what they were declaring in tongues. A prophecy is for edification, for exhortation, and for consolation. So it's totally two different ones. My brothers and sisters, here's the question. Have we become too sophisticated for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I remember in the denomination where I was born in, we looked down on the Pentecostals. We ridiculed them. We used to, when they had tent meetings, we used to throw in white doves because they were always catching the whole, looking for the Holy Spirit. So we threw in white doves into the tent to confuse them, all that kind of thing. We did the most terrible things because we were carnal, we did not understand the things of the Holy Spirit. And I told you before, the first time I ever invited my mom to come with me to a Pentecostal church, because she still belongs to the old church. And I prayed, I said, Lord, please don't let this old lady, Tanifali, don't let her speak in tongues this morning. And don't let this one prophesy because I've got my mom here and I don't want to scare the wits out of her. And usually, just after the worship, Tanifali would get up and speak in a tongue and Brother Pete would interpret and whatnot. And Brother Lummy would just shout hallelujah every time. So I prayed, I said, Lord, please, please. I'll tell you what, we hadn't even started worshiping. And Tanifali jumped up and she starts speaking in tongues. And my mom just nearly broke her neck, you know, jerking around to see what was going on. And I thought, Lord, I'll never get my... So the next thing is, you know, this thing happened, that happened. And I was so scared. She insisted on going back to the next service because she experienced the power of God. And when there were prophecies, they spoke right into her life. The power of God. We must not be ashamed of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, finally, in closing, a strong statement. The problem in the Corinthian church was not the excessive speaking in tongues, but the problem was the lack of interpretation of tongues. The early church turned the world upside down. They reached multitudes by the power of the Spirit without Boeings and computers, internet, Facebook, not even a sound system. What spoke the loudest was their lives. People saw the transforming power of Christ in the men and women who left everything to follow him. The most important mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ is godly character. We should never minimize the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yet it is the fruit of the Spirit that identifies the true believer of Jesus. Matthew 7:19, verse 20. When Jesus instructed the disciples how to identify false prophets, Jesus said, by their fruits you will recognize them. Many are gifted, yet the real test is the character, the habits, and the lifestyle of the individual. Though every disciple will be given gifts for the profit of the entire body of Christ, it is the fruit of a godly life that we must cultivate if we are to bear the marks of a true follower of Jesus. Charisma is very important. Character, however, is essential. Father God, how we need you. Lord, you've given us everything so that we can become effective in your kingdom. Lord, we repent tonight. How many of us despise your gifts or feel embarrassed when someone operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Father, I just pray that this become a lifestyle, that we will be so attentive and sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that not only myself will be blessed, but that I will be a blessing to the body of Christ. That is what you have called us to, Lord, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. That I can build up my brothers and sisters in the most holy faith, Lord, so that they can be effective instruments in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray for each and every one that is here tonight. I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, Lord. That what you've entrusted to us. Lord, you've got a plan for each one of us. You've got a plan for each one of us. Lord, but what do I do with the plan that you have for me? Do I disregard it?